Right. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you very much indeed for coming. As the program says, my name is Phil Archer. I work for W3C, Worldwide Web Consortium. If you have questions about W3C and standardization on the web, I'm happy to answer those, but do it afterwards, see me afterwards, because that's not the purpose of this particular session. What we're here to do today is to find out about a project which, coincidentally, is also called Big Data Europe. We usually just call it BDE. So apologies for the confusion of the name of the project at the same place as at the event of the same name. You won't hear very much from me. It's much more interesting to hear from the people building this project, particularly where we're taking many of the bits of the software that come in the stack here and dockerizing them, containerizing them, putting them together and making them work and integrating them. The person who leads the project on a day-to-day basis from Fraunhofer is Dr. Simon Sherry, who I'll ask to speak first of all as soon as he gets back to the stage, because you're in charge of the project. So he will talk about that, and then Hajira Chabin will talk about the integration, the actual work that's been gone on to integrate the different Apache components into the Docker Swarm-based system. And then Angelos Haralabidis will talk about a particular application where we're taking satellite data, recognizing change, and hooking that up to Twitter feeds and other media feeds to work out what the heck is going on literally on the ground. So Simon, if you can introduce the project as a whole to start with. We'll go with you first. Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks to Phil for the introduction. So we had another talk this morning about the Big Data project. So these slides, for those who are attending this morning's talk, are quite similar. I'll just keep it very short, give you a bit of an overview about the project. And for the rest, I'll leave it to my colleagues to give you a bit more interesting information about the Big Data Integrator platform. So, the project, it's a European Commission funded H2020 project, and it's very strongly aligned with the 7 societal challenges that the Commission has identified for H2020, which are health related, food and agriculture. You can see each of the 7 pictures there corresponds to one. Energy, transport, climate, social sciences, and security. These are a bit like the umbrella topics. Yeah, there's many subtopics for each of them. And the main mission of the project is to get the people, have like a lot of stakeholders in our projects, key stakeholders in each domain, and we get to see what they need, what are their challenges when it comes to using and applying big data technology to their needs. And on the other hand, we know about the big data technology that exists, and we try to get that technology in a way that's easily combined for them to solve many use cases. And somewhere in between all of this, there's this generic architecture blueprint for a big data integrator platform, which is then instantiated for 7 pilots corresponding to each of these 7 domains. So that's the budget, that's when the course of the project ending at the end of next year. So on the one hand, I want to show the societal value of big data within each of those domains and across them. And also, one of our main missions is to lower the barrier for the use of big data technologies due to the limitation of skilled people in big data technology, which does not meet the requirements by the huge amount of demand for the skilled people in this area. So we want to make it a bit easier to get an entry to making the most of the potential of the existing technology. Okay, so this is the consortium, 16 partners across Europe. Roughly half of them are dedicated. They're like our contact point to each of the 7 domains. You have Open Facts for the health stakeholders, CESDA for the societal domain, Agrono and Food and Agriculture Organization for food, so on and so forth, just to give you a glimpse. And the rest of the partners are more technical. So they're like big data technologists, universities, and also companies who are coming together in this project to do something to reach our goals. And the project relies a lot on the stakeholder engagement cycle, seeing what the communities need, producing it for them, using as much as possible existing technology, just making it easier to connect all those components together. Providing prototypes, we already have one last summer out, we're gonna have one in the next months, and see as we go what is required, what is missing, how we can do better until the end of the project. And this is what I was talking about bringing together the societal domains with existing components. So I want to move from the top of this picture, where previously there were more like very, very specific solutions, which did everything, combined everything for one specific use case. And what we want to go towards is like something which reuses existing very good components that exist out there, combine them, replace them, alternatives together, so that they can apply for many use cases and also exploit the link to open data, so not just fixed, logged in to one data source set. So that's a little picture here about everything. And one of the things, as Fraunhofer, also as coordinators of the project, we feel that the variety dimension is maybe not very well supported in comparison to velocity and volume, because those two have been, there's a lot of components which target specifically them, but variety and the heterogeneity of the data and lack of interoperability we see as a problem. So this may be something which is a bit more, we give a bit more attention to in our project. So that was my introduction. Some links, you will see some of these again later. The platform you will be introduced to is on GitHub, open source, the pilots, and also the one on the demos. You'll find more information on our website, and I hand over back to Phil.
Thank you, Simon. Cheers. So you can see now why W3C suddenly is interested in this big data project, because of the semantics and the linking and tackling the variety V of big data. So we talked about a generic platform. We'll then talk about a specific use case, one of the ones that we have. Hajira Jabin is one of the main engineers of the platform. She can tell you how we're using or how we're integrating Flink and Spark and all these other things that you know very well into a platform. Hajira.
So hello, everyone. I'm Hajra from University of Bonn. I work as a senior researcher there, and we are working on the Big Data Europe platform, and I will tell you about the technical details, how we have built the platform so far. So this is the structure of my presentation. First, I will tell you about the evolution of our Big Data in Europe platform architecture, how we build the stack, and what are the beyond the state of the art measures that we have taken. So this was the very first architectural design that we built in the early stages of the project, where we were planning to use Mesos as a distributed kernel with frameworks like Marathon and Kronos on top of them. And we were thinking that we would have Docker Swarm as yet another framework working on top of Mesos, and we will Dockerize some of the applications, and some of them might be running natively on top of these frameworks. But with time and fast development of these frameworks and technologies, we realized that it's not necessary that we need to install any native application. And also Docker Swarm matured and developed with time. So we kind of simplified our architecture, and now what we have looks something like this, where we have Docker Swarm as the cluster orchestration tool, and on top of it, we have Dockers and Docker Compose as the pipeline orchestrator. So this is the vision of the platform that has been released in August. Here we have some extra elements that you can see on the right, a support layer, and then some semantic big data elements. I will explain what these are in later in my presentation. So this is yet another view for one of the societal challenges, societal challenge 7, which will be presented later on in this presentation. So here we have components like Sextant, SemaGrow, aggregator detector, and so on. So these are components required by this platform, which is why they have it there, and they can be dockerized and run on top of the Big Data Europe platform, which shows its applicability and general usefulness. Support layer is something that I shown already on the right side, so it has some purpose that I will explain later in the slides. So these are the components that Big Data in Europe platform supports so far for indexing, data acquisition, message passing, storage, and many other tasks. This is not an exhaustive list. You can include more components provided you can have a dockerized version of it, or you can use the standard dockerized versions or dockers of the existing components if you want to add to the Big Data in Europe platform. We have divided our user profiles into four different categories. One, a person who's probably from DevOps, who wants to set up the platform. Then there is a developer who creates a specific application, a person who deploys it, and then there is a managerial level person who wants to monitor what's going on in the Big Data, any Big Data platform. For installation of this platform, we have provided installation instructions. You can see them on GitHub, and also there are many screencasts following, telling you how to set up the platform, how to create a pipeline on this platform, and so on. So the aim of this platform is to have general applicability and to lower the barrier of entry to the big data frameworks and tools. So if you want to develop a component, what you need to do is we have provided base Docker images for the components that I've shown before. So these images serve as a template. You can pull these images and easily extend it using your own algorithm and then run it on the platform. And we have published a lot of components on our GitHub page, and we are increasing these supported components with time. So this was for one component. If you want to create a stack or workflow or pipeline out of different components, for that you need a collection of different Docker components that should communicate with each other to solve a specific problem. For this orchestration pipeline need to be explained or written in the Docker Compose file. We have also provided different snippets of Docker Compose files, some example pipelines or stack components in Docker Compose files. You can run some existing examples, and there are sufficient instructions to create your own examples or create your own pipelines as well. So it's easily seen or easily said than done. You might know already that Docker Compose or Docker Compose, or when you do Docker Compose up, what it does is that all the Docker images that you want to create try to run at once, which is usually not the case. You want to create a data flow out of it, and there are certain dependencies among Dockers, so we need to take care of it. For example, if a Spark master, Spark worker wants to read some data from HDFS, the HDFS Docker container must be up and running before that. It should be ready. Similarly, a Spark worker wants to connect to master, so master must be up and running before worker tries to connect to it, and so forth, so on. So for this, we have created an orchestrator that takes care of this initialization process. So the platform allows you to create a workflow pipeline or a workflow of the number of containers that you want to create, and to tell that, for example, Spark depends on HDFS, and then Spark worker depends on Spark master, and so on. So with this sequence of workers or sequence of Docker containers, we can create a workflow stack which can be run using the platform. On top of it, we have also created user interfaces. Some of you might already know that there are existing user interfaces, for example, HDFS, data node, name node, for Spark jobs or Flink jobs. But they are different. If you create a manual pipeline, then you have to navigate through different ports to different user interfaces. We have integrated them into one. So we have an integrator interface, which not only allows you to visualize the components inside the pipeline, but it also allows you to create a workflow, then monitor that workflow, and visualize all the different components running inside the pipeline. So what we have so far available is workflow user interfaces. So it's workflow builder, workflow monitor, and then we have SWARM user interface and integrator user interface. So these are the glimpses of some of the interfaces. I'll go through them in my demo later. We have also done some work beyond just the development part. One is, and what we call it, smart big data, that is increase the big data value by adding meaning to it or adding semantics to it. For orchestration, we also use a microservice that makes use of a triple store or semantic data store, and it is a flexible. It is for the flexible composition of big data pipelines, and it uses continuous HTTP requests to a web-based frontend. And then there is a concept of semantic data lake, named as Ontario. What happens in data lake is that there is a repository of different types of data, and it is just stored in one time. So ingest all the data at one place, store all the data at one place, and then do analytics on top of it. That's the concept of data lake. We have slightly modified this concept that we add a semantic layer on top of the source data sets. So the semantic data or the linked data stays as it is, but the non-semantic data, for example, CSV files or documents, we add a semantic layer on top of it, or we could say we semantically lift that data and add a meta layer on top of it, which tells us what's actually in that data. So this helps us to create a meta layer. So once a user asks a Sparkle query, then we have a decomposer that knows which part of the query belongs to which part of the data set. It accesses that data set and returns us our required answer by looking through different heterogeneous sources of data. So this is another bit neglected V of the four Vs, that is variety of the big data aspect. So here we can cater for different types of data formats in a heterogeneous meta layer. And yet another research direction that we are working on is semantic analytics stack. So as I discussed before, that there are two different types of data, so the CSV data, documents data, and then the linked data, or this is also called knowledge graphs nowadays. So lots of effort has been put in creation of these knowledge graphs, and it has been mostly used as a standard data interchange format. So to keep the data and to query the data. But given that we have large amounts of such data available, why not make use of it and perform machine learning on top of it? What regular machine learning does is that you have data in different file formats, for example, CSV or document data, and you perform text analytics on top of document-based data, and you perform machine learning, kernel-based learning on CSV data. And you do a lot of pre-processing steps to transform that data into a form that is workable by any given algorithm. So we try to match both of the best parts of both worlds, that we take the distributed analytics and algorithms from the machine learning part, and we take the data modeling technologies from the RDF part and try to combine them together, that your data is already in a standardized format, so you don't have to come up with new algorithms. You know that this is the standardized format that I'll get my data in, and then perform distributed algorithms or create distributed algorithms on top of it. So this is yet another view that at the bottom you have distributed in-memory processing, and then we have knowledge distribution and representation, then we have querying or inference on top of it, and yet another layer is the machine learning algorithms like clustering, link prediction, anomaly detection, and so on. We have divided it into four different layers. One is read-write layer, which allows us to read and write RDF data and perform statistical analysis on top of it. And we represent data in multiple formats like RDDs, data frames, graphics, or tensors. And we can transform from one form to another. The second is query layer, where we can ask questions about the existing data, like by using intelligent indexing schemes, splitting strategies, and so on. So early work on this layer is already in progress. Then there is inferencing layer. We are also working on this. It's also in progress. Beyond the state of the art, we want to dynamically build the rule dependency graphs. And in machine learning layer, we are working on tensor factorization, simple spatiotemporal analysis, graph clustering, association rule mining, and semantic decision trees. So I would recall that it's all based on knowledge graphs or linked open data. So now I go back to the platform and show you how it works. So what you need to do is essentially you pull an example pipeline from GitHub. So git clone is the first step. And you need to have Docker installed on your system. So it's after you've cloned, you go to the main file and you say Docker compose up. And after you've done that, there are a couple of Docker containers spun up. This is for one pipeline. So I can see this pipeline here. And here now you can see that it's a bunch of components that were part of that pipeline. So what we have here is Flink, HDFS, Hue, Virtuoso, and a monitor. So here you can see that at the moment there is no job submitted. So I can go to monitor, pipelines, and I have already set up this workflow so that my demo does not crash. So this is HDFS. We have populated data with HDFS, set up Flink, and aggregate word count data and retrieve the results. So if I go back here, I should have one job running and it has finished now. And if I go to Hue and output, I should be able to see this result. So this is as easy as I've just shown you. So you can create a cluster of Flink, a cluster of HDFS, and you can start working with big data tools. Another example is, this is yet another workflow or pipeline or stack. Here we have Spark Master, Spark Worker. These are different jobs for Spark. This is monitor. This is the visualization is the application. And then here is the HDFS. You can view the structure of name node, different data nodes. And here you can also see that we have put some effort in homogenizing these user interfaces. If you are familiar with them, you know that Flink looks totally different than what we have here. HDFS looks totally different, so we have tried to homogenize these interfaces as well. Yet another interface that we have is the Swarm user interface. So it is compatible with Swarm. And here you can see that these are different components running inside a pipeline or stack, and we can scale up or down these components or stop them, these individual components. So now we are working on integration of these components, all of these user interfaces to pack them together. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. Okay, so that gives you a very quick overview of a lot of stuff. If you want to get your hands on this and play with it, then we have a booth all day tomorrow and Wednesday morning. You can come along and play with the stuff and see how many clusters you can spin up in how many seconds. It's amazing. We do want to have a short Q&A session at the end. So between now and then, by all means, think of questions. We want to ask you whether we've got the right kind of Apache components in here, if the problems that we've talked about here with making sure that one thing is running before you start the next thing that depends on it, is that a problem that you face? And if so, how do you handle it? And other things that we're trying to do to integrate different components to create the stacks, and maybe other questions that you've got. So we really want to know from you. But before then, I'd like to see one particular aspect. As I say, the Big Data Europe project has 7 pilots. They range across the societal challenges that Simon mentioned at the start. This one is in the security domain, and Angelos Haralambidis will tell us all about it.
Can you hear me? Yeah, okay. Thanks, Phil, for the intro. So to recap, the goal of Big Data Europe is to create a generic platform, generic enough for the societal challenges to use and to penetrate as more as possible the domains that can experience big data challenges, but they don't have the means or the knowledge to, develop from scratch big data applications. So, as Simon said earlier, there are 7 societal challenges. Each challenge has come up with some interesting real life applications. And they compose a pilot that demonstrates how the Big Data Integrator, Big Data Europe Integrator, and some custom code can solve these challenges. As we have seen from the pilot so far, we can categorize the pilots into three cases. The first case is that the domain user has already an algorithm that is working. It's mature enough, but it's working on a single computer. And what he wants is to scale up and to adapt these algorithms to a big data environment. The second one is to have an existing infrastructure that is parallel and can work, but it needs a preparation or a management of the input. So they use the big data components on the side to manage the input and to generate new input, filter, etc. And the third one is to undergo an effort to implement a parallel version of an algorithm from scratch using some APIs given by the current state of the art of the big data processing systems. So I pick one pilot for each case. The first case is the societal challenge of transport. In the problem there is to consume streams of current measurements from taxis over the city of Thessaloniki and fuse them with historical data and try to estimate the traffic conditions in the future. So this is the architecture they came up. Of course, naturally, they use Flink and Kafka to support from continuous streaming. You can see that the pilot architecture is divided into the data ingestion, to the data storage or servicing, to the data processing, and of course to visualize the outputs. The green boxes corresponds to generic containers, generic images given by the BDE, configured or unchanged. The pink boxes corresponds to custom code that the pilot needs to develop on top of Flink, for example. And in this architecture, we have streams of Bluetooth input that via Kafka became input to Flink. So you see that there are the mapping matching and the traffic classification prediction algorithms running in Flink. In fact, the traffic classification and prediction is originally written in R, and Flink calls R using an interface. So this is the case of they do have an existing algorithm, and they want to adapt it to scale out to big data input. Our second pilot is about climate modeling. It's the societal challenge of climate, and these guys have a bunch of hardware to run MPI algorithms. But what they need is to massage their input, filter, slice or dice their input, and of course, managing their experiments that can be week-long experiments, and have a provenance or keep metadata for them. So this pilot assumes that the data are in file blocks. So there are cubes, geospatial cubes that are packaged in files, and these are consumed by the BDE platform using a Spark that loads the raw data to a hive in such a way that can be sliced or diced, then to create new files to become input to the box that is covered by the okay. So WRF modeling is the core business of the climate, and is run on an infrastructure that accepts an experiment that is produced by this infrastructure. And the last pilot I want to present is the pilot about security. In this pilot, the idea is to retrieve images from satellite and detect if there are any changes caused by physical or human activity. And beyond that, there is also an event detection module that scrapes the Twitter or news and geolocates the events that is happening in real time. So that architecture uses Spark, and the change detection and event detection is created from scratch. It's developed from scratch. So the images, okay, the images are retrieved from the Copernicus or something like that service, and stored in the HDFS infrastructure that are consumed by a Spark, by the change detection, and the results are stored in Strabon, that is a geo triple store, that is a triple store that supports spatial queries. And also the events are scraped from Twitter, stored in Cassandra, and then processed by a Spark application, and the output is also stored in Cassandra. So the user interface, the user can view the correlated events using an interface that is served by Semagro. Now, Semagro is a federation engine that federates between Strabon and Cassandra, so to give a unified view to the interface. And to see something working, I'm here connected to our cluster in Athens, and the guys of SC7 have their pilots running at our cluster. And as Hajira told, everything is a Docker, and we can see that for that cluster, for that pilot, there are some Dockers up and running. One of them is Sextant, that is actually accessible from the internet, and the user can make their choices to see some events. So for now, I have a recorded video for this demo that demonstrates. Let me start that. So the user, this video is recorded when the devastating earthquake in Amatrice, Italy, happened. So the user is now wants to know about changes happening in around this area of Italy. It selects the corresponding dates he wants to retrieve the data, and the data are downloaded and processed. And the change algorithm shows that the oranges boxes are the changes detected, and this actually houses demolished by the earthquake. So the button detect events goes back to tweets and news about this event that are at least referring to this place on Earth. And as you can see, there are lots of events. From Reuters or from Twitter. And the second attempt is to search by keyword to find news that corresponds to a keyword. For example, the user now is searching for an earthquake. And of course, some events about an earthquake are shown in his screen. So, the event is located in Italy. And then, based on these events, you can trigger to see changes in the satellite images happening in Italy. So it's the other way around. Okay. This was, I think, the demo. So I'm done.
Thanks, Angelos. Okay, right, so we have a short time to take any questions about various things. So we're talking about here a project which is funded, and we're trying to get different Apache components and put them together and make it easy to spin things up through various UIs. We've shown you some examples of how we're using this to do different things. So we'd like to know from you, first of all, thank you for being here and thank you for being awake at this time at the end of the first day, which I know is a challenge, especially if, like me, you got up at 5 o'clock this morning. But we really want to know what technology you're using and whether you see any value in this or if you think it's a complete waste of time. Can we do anything better? Anything else we should or shouldn't be doing? Anyone got anything they want to say about it, sir?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
So first of all, thank you for a really great presentation. I got a sort of Apache-related question, less big data-related question. So you guys seem to be connecting a lot of the bits and pieces coming from the Apache Software Foundation together. But I was actually, while you know you were talking, I was checking out some of your projects on GitHub, and it seems like most of them are Apache licensed, but I don't see sort of you pushing it back to Apache. Is there any reason behind it? Do you prefer running it under your own governance for some reason? Or is it just something that hasn't occurred to you yet?
Are we pushing stuff back to Apache? I hope we are. You're the guys doing the work, not me, so.
Sure, if you are talking about Simagro, we would like to, of course, contribute in the future to the Apache Foundation. Currently, we are working on it. This Simagro was output of another European project, and we are developing new features in BDE. So if you guys are interested to get some traction on this.
Yeah, let's talk after the presentation, because one of the things that I do at Apache is Apache Incubator. And this is the place through which all of the new projects come in, so I can help you if there is interest on your side.
Right.
I was just curious if there is anything, you know, given that you are funded by the government, if there is anything that would prevent you from doing so.
No, I don't think so. On the thing about the daemons and initializing stuff at the right time, is that something you think we might want to contribute back? It's just something, it's obviously the thing that you keep highlighting that we're doing that's really cool, and I wonder whether we're going to be able to contribute that back to ASF, yeah? Sounds like the kind of thing. So.
Hello, thanks also for the presentation. My question is quite related. I was checking if the platform is available in your website or how is it possible to use it? Because
it's all on GitHub. It's all on GitHub.
Yeah, but do you plan to have releases? I don't know, because you have tags with stable releases, beta, I don't know. It's very hard. You want to start with, right?
Funny you should say that. One thing that Simon and I have to write before the end of the year is the project deliverable on sustainability. So I don't know. Yes, we have got a beta release that we put out recently. It was August. In August, we released that. There'll be a further release of what we think of as a stable platform. What happens after that, of course, after the project depends on what people want and whether there's funding to do it. But yes, there is a stable release that went out in August, and there will be another one. Do you want to say something else? No. Nope. I covered that, right. Okay, next. Anyone? So you want us to contribute to ASF, which is a perfectly valid thing to say, yes. Anyone else doing something similar, linking things together, spinning things up and creating clusters? Hang on, this gentleman here.
Yes, thank you indeed for the great presentations. We are doing something or trying to come up with something very much similar. So this was definitely an eye-opener that you're already doing something that we are aiming to do. So definitely looking into how we could utilize the platform and also coming from a corporate side of things. And our goal is to provide this kind of platform for smaller startups and incubators, so who might not have the technical capabilities or understanding of the solutions, so how to easily hand over a technical environment for them to play with big data and analytics. So this could be an impressive fit for that purpose. So thank you very much for that.
I don't get a chance to ask questions very often, so I'm going to do it now. As the W3C guy, I'm really, the reason I love this project so much is because of the semantification, the use of URIs as identifiers and linking things together, being able to run a Sparkle query across federated endpoints and the semantic data lake. Is anyone else doing anything like that? Anyone else using semantics to bring together, to integrate, to tackle the variety V? I mean, you guys with your high-end Apache software are handling velocity and you're handling volume. That's, I understand, kind of taken care of, but variety seems to be one of the difficulties. Is anyone else handling that with semantics? It's another thing we're doing. Blazing a trail. Okay. we think it's useful, we think it's important, and we think there's a good line there. From my point of view, of course, the web is the biggest database of all, and we want to try and make that, you know, bigger still all the time. Anyone else have anything else? Anybody want to ask anything else before we close? Okay. Then I will again thank you very much indeed for coming this afternoon, and thank you to my colleagues for their presentations and explaining what's been going on. Anything else you want to ask before I stop?
No, thanks to you, Phil, and we have a booth tomorrow.
Yes, the booth, yes. I don't actually know where the booths are, but I assume Apache people do know where the booths are going to be. But there will be one, and you can actually play with this thing and interrogate electronically and verbally, by all means. Okay? All right. Thank you all very much indeed. Thank you.